And thank you for your very warm welcome here to Lurgan Baptist this morning. I'm absolutely delighted to be here and to join you on this very busy weekend. It's been great to hear of all the things that have been happening and great to hear of your interest in the work of mission, local and global. So thank you so much for your welcome. Thank you, Colin, and to the other elders for the invite to come here and to share about the work of Baptist missions this morning. So there'll be two parts really this morning to what we're going to hear. I'll give an update on the work of Baptist missions that we're involved in Belturbet, and then we'll spend some time around God's word in the second part this morning. So as you can see, I'm here today representing Baptist missions, which means I'm here today representing our mission. This is the work that we are doing together as an association of Baptist churches on the island of Ireland, north and south. And so this is our mission, your mission. And so I'm delighted to bring to you your report of what the Lord is doing through not just me and those of us here in Belturbet, but on behalf of what we're doing as an association of churches. You can see our strapline there, proclaiming Christ and planting churches. We've zoomed in on four particular countries, in France, in Ireland, in Peru, and in Spain. And so, of course, we'll be thinking about the work in Ireland in particular, and then in Belturbet specifically. Helps if you switch these things on, doesn't it? There's my family. Wish they could have all come up this morning. Just wasn't possible with other meetings and engagements this evening. But this is my wife, Katya, on the right. Katya's originally from Russia, and we met overseas with OM on the Logos Hope ship, if you've heard of that ship. That seems like a long time ago. And since then, I should say, my name's Joel. You probably figured that out. I'm originally from Bangor, and home is now in Belturbet in County Cavan. So since then, since getting married then in 2013, we've had three children. Timothy is the biggest boy there in the middle. Then Benjamin on my lap. And then our little lockdown baby, Daniel. He was born in 2020 over on Katya's knee there. So that's the family. A lot of people wonder where Belturbet is. Yes, Colin, you got your geography right. County Cavan, you can see in the blue part on the map there. Belturbet's a little dot. Only took me an hour and a half coming here this morning, so not really that far away. And we're just about 5 minutes drive south of the border there. So a little border town. It's a small town, really only about 1,400 people who live in the town itself. Kind of 4,000 people who'd be in the wider postcode area would have Belturbet on their address. So a small town, and yet a needy town. I think it's helpful when we have the map up there and we think about the work in the Republic of Ireland. It's helpful to be reminded, you perhaps have heard statistics like this before, but in the Republic of Ireland, it is the least reached English-speaking nation on earth. The least reached. What that means is less than 1% of Irish people would identify themselves as an evangelical Christian of any stripe, less than 1%. And what that looks like on the ground is there's just a lack, a dearth of gospel preaching churches. Just to give you an example, set some context to that. So you can see on the map there, the red dot is Belturbet. And we have a family come to us once in a while. They don't come every week, but they come once in a while. And they're coming from a place called Corla, which if you look up on the kind of left, top left of where the blue fades out into County Leitrim, that's where they are there. Just Corla is just this side of Cavan. And they're driving 35 minutes to come to us on a Sunday morning in Belturbet. They're not driving 35 minutes because there are other churches around that they just don't like the style of the music, or they prefer the way that we do things in Belturbet. They're driving 35 minutes and driving through three towns, none of which have a gospel church. We're their closest church. If they were to go west over into Leitrim, if they were to go north or south, we are their closest church. They can drive 40 minutes in any direction before they hit their next gospel church. And so that means in the Republic, there is just a lack of places that you could go if you got in your car to drive today where you could hear the Word of God preached. And that is something that we're seeking as an association of churches to redress in Baptist missions. And so we're proclaiming Christ and planting churches. So I said a bit about Belturbet. It's a very small town, as I said before. If this works, this is a little run-through of the street, main street in Belturbet. There is our one set of flashing traffic lights, blinking, you'll miss them. There's the town hall and library in front of you. You're down the other side of the street. You've got a pub on your right, a pharmacy on your left, and over the bridge, and you're out of the town. That's a very brief run through, but it helps to give you a flavour. A small rural town with a small group of people, and yet it's a group and a town and an area where we've seen the Lord at work. My wife and I moved to Belturbet in 2016, not actually to plant a church. We moved to get some experience in ministry. I was working alongside the church in Cavan Baptist Church, and Ivan Watson there, and was an assistant pastor in the church to get some experience. But free accommodation came up for us in Belturbet, and that's why we ended up there. And since being there in 2016, we've really seen the Lord at work. And so there's roughly the kind of group that you'll see gathered if we were in Belturbet this morning. We have the use of a community hall there, and around about 40 children and adults, most Sundays, sometimes more, sometimes less, are gathered up to hear the Word of God and to hear and to praise the Lord as they gather together. So praise God that in one of those little dots on the map, we've seen another gospel church planted. We constituted as a church. That's just the fancy name for officially forming as a church. That was in September 21. It's about a year and a half. We've been officially as a church. We've been gathered, though, on Sundays, really since we came out of the pandemic. And we've been meeting Sunday by Sunday then. Many, many ministries I could tell you that are happening about in the church. I'll mention just a few things. I'm delighted to have my wife serving alongside with me in the work and indebted to her work, especially amongst the ladies. And so there's a picture of the ladies' Bible study that's just around our kitchen table. And there's Katja in the white jumper, and she's involved in teaching and in discipling the other woman in the church. One of the things that was really clear to us when we thought about planting the church was the reality of the real hunger that we find for the Word of God, particularly amongst these women. And so we praise God, many of them young mums, most of them first-generation Christians, and really hungry for the Word of God, really hungry to get to grips with what God would say for them as mothers, for them as wives, for them in their work. And so could you pray for Katja and her work with the women, for the ladies' Bible study that will continue to flourish. We also have a men's Bible study that runs, which I'm involved in along with my co-elders. There's one of my co-elders, Simon Gibson. He's in the green t-shirt there. Simon works with CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship. Simon and his wife Jane are the workers for County Cavan, and we're delighted that they have joined us in the church plant. Simon, as I said, is one of my co-elders. You can see our Good News Club there that happens every Friday then during term time. The children, primary school age children, gather together in the community hall there, and the kids are now hearing the Word of God, and they're inviting their friends to come along and to hear the Word of God. So it's a wonderful to have that partnership with CEF and the work that Simon and Jane are doing, and us as a new church. Many churches with much bigger budgets than us would give their right arm to have a children's worker like Simon working alongside with them. And we're just delighted that we can have that in Belturbet, and the Lord has blessed us with Simon and Jane. Pray for them, please, with their ministry and for the children's ministry as well. We've started a youth group this year, and delighted to have around about 3 to 5 young people coming along just in our living room every other Friday. And we could really see the need for this as we started to see some young people coming along and attending services here and again. And just to give you an example, we had 5 young people one of the first nights, and as we did our Bible study, I noticed that most didn't actually bring along a Bible, so we were handing out Bibles that we could find in our shelves and in our bookshelves. And I said at the end of the meeting, if you haven't got a Bible, please feel free to take one of those Bibles with you home. Of those 5 young people, 2 of them took Bibles. They didn't actually own a Bible. An 18-year-old fella and a 16-year-old girl got to that stage in life and they didn't actually own a Bible. So we praise God that amongst the children, amongst the youth, And amongst the adults, what we're seeing is God's word getting into the hands, getting into the lives of people who haven't actually heard it, and we praise God for it. We've been involved, very busy, as I'm sure you were yourselves, over Christmas, getting out and involved in that natural opportunity we have in the year to share the gospel. The lady you can see on the right of the picture at the Christmas stall is very crafty, likes to make things, Ruth McCarthy. So she set up a craft stall in the local Christmas market. We raised some funds for a local children's GAA football club. And so it was a great way for us to be a blessing to that vital and good work that's happening in the community with sport and the children, and raise money for that. And at the same time, great opportunity to have the gospel going forward as well. So the calendars were being given out there, children's literature too, and a great way for us to be a blessing in our community as well. And on the left side of the picture then, this is a local community housing association that invited us to come and do a carol service last year, as in 21, and then to come again in 2022. And so another opportunity to share God's word. And we had our own carol service as well, and saw some visitors come along to that. So we give thanks for those opportunities we have to share the gospel throughout the year. And we'd love you to pray. We've got plans to do so. A children's Easter egg hunt around about Christmas. And probably to do another Bible study for those who aren't yet Christians to come along and to hear God's word coming up around that time as well. What we do as Baptist Missions, there's so many other things I could talk about that we're doing in Bilturbet, but what really essentially does it boil down to? It boils down to seeing lives changed, to seeing people putting their trust in the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you about this family. This is the McGuire family, Ali and Kieran, and their four children, Phoebe just born last year, baby Phoebe in the red. And let me tell you a little bit about Ali and Kieran. We came across Ali when we moved to the area in 2016. Ali and Kieran had just recently had their first child, Harry. He's up on Daddy's lap there. And Ali was from a Christian home, originally from Dublin. They moved up to Cavan then. And really when they moved up to Cavan, she and her family didn't really come along to Cavan Baptist Church once in a while, but it was very infrequent and withdrew really from the church. Ali then married Kieran, who wasn't a Christian, and they had children. And when children started coming along then, when Harry was born, Ali had a real desire that her children would have the opportunity to hear the Bible stories that she grew up hearing and knowing. And so she started bringing her children along to services on a Sunday in that time in the church in Cavan Baptist. And as she was coming along, started coming then to ladies' Bible studies, started and came along to a Christianity Explored course that we put on. And slowly but surely, Ali realized that she had repented of her sin, had put her trust in Jesus, and desired to be baptized. So Ali was baptized in the church in Cavan then in 2018. And I remember Ali standing at the front sharing her testimony on the day that she was going to be baptized. And I remember her husband and her children and family sitting in the congregation. And one of the things that Ali said was, one of the reasons that she was being baptized was as a witness, as a testimony to your husband and to your children. So that was 2018. Fast forward then to 2020. And sadly, tragedy struck for Kieran when his mother died as a young woman in her 60s of cancer. And Kieran's world really was turned upside down. He was struggling then, came into lockdown straight away after that. He was searching for meaning, searching for comfort. Ali was trying to encourage her husband to turn to the Word of God. But over the course of the year, Kieran really started to question more and more until March 2021 then. We put on a Christianity Explored course online, that new ministry that we all figured out during the pandemic. And Kieran came along to that course. And by about week four of that course, when he heard from Mark's gospel, the cross clearly explained for the first time and realized for the first time that Jesus dying on the cross, he knew that information from his Catholic upbringing, that Jesus died on a cross for sinners. But for the first time, he realized that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, for his sins. And so he repented and believed in the Lord Jesus. And then just in March last year, he was baptized in the church in Belturbet and now added to membership. And so what we're seeing in Belturbet is as God's word goes out, it's making an impact in people's lives and whole families we see turning to the Lord. And now Harry and Harper and Rosie and Phoebe, the children there in the family, are hearing God's word. And we just rejoice in what God is doing among us. And that is what God is not just doing through Joel and Katya, by the way. That's what God is doing through us as an association of churches. And so can I encourage you and say thank you at this stage for your partnership with us in the gospel. Because as you have been praying, as you have been giving here regularly in the church, that is supporting the work that we're doing in Baptist missions. So thank you for your work and your partnership with us in the gospel. If you haven't already, can I encourage you to sign up to Prayer News? We have a sign-up sheet in that display of the different organizations. Find the Baptist Missions one there. And sign up for Prayer News if you haven't already. You can do that physically with a pen there. The benefit of doing it physically rather than online is that you get a free pen. So a free pen for everybody today. Don't leave without a Baptist Missions pen if you haven't got one already. Sign up to Prayer News. Get your free pen. Every Friday then, you'll get prayer information, up-to-date prayer information that'll enable you to pray intelligently, pray specifically, not just for what's happening in Belturbet, but for what's happening in France and the other missionaries in Ireland and Spain and Peru. So please, would you pray? Would you also consider, if you haven't already, signing up to Target 1000? We're seeking to raise up 1,000 new financial supporters, people who will commit to giving something monthly, even as little or as much, depending on what way you look at it, as £10 a month, can go a long way in putting boots of workers on the ground in these four countries that we're working in. So if you would consider signing up for that as well, there's information out there about that. That information, by the way, is for this morning only, because I'm going to have to take it all down and take it with me onto the next meeting I have this evening. So please do sign up for Prayer News. And if you'd like to ask any questions about Baptist missions in general, about what's happening in Belturbet, I'd be only too glad to answer those questions as best I can. Thank you for your support with Baptist missions. We're going to turn now to God's Word. If you have a Bible, please do open it up at Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We'll read from verses 1 to 9 of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, as he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. We thank God for his precious word to us. Well, I don't know if you ever take the time to glance at your junk mail inbox. I'm speaking about emails, of course. Back in the day, the only junk mail you had to worry about was what came through the letterbox. Now, of course, it's 10 or 100 times worse with the amount of junk email that you get on your computer. I don't know if you ever take the time to look through your junk mail inbox. Just as an experiment, this week I glanced through some of the headings in my junk mail, and to be honest, it makes for a comical reading. Here's a selection. Walmart winner, you've been chosen to participate in our loyalty program for free. Which is interesting, seeing as I've never stepped foot in a Walmart in my entire life. Prudential Real Estate. Hi, Prudential Homes of America has registered an interest in your home. Apparently there's someone in America who's just dying to buy up my semi-D in Bilturbet. Free iPhone 14. Confirm now to receive your free iPhone. And of course, all we have to do is click on their dodgy-looking link to receive the latest iPhone for nothing. You know, as we read through our junk mail inbox, what do we essentially find there? We find false promises, don't we? False promises. Some promises are just too far-fetched for anyone to believe. And make no mistake, if you think that the promise of a free iPhone is far-fetched, then what God has promised to Abram in these verses is completely out of this world. But what we see in this passage is that God is not making promises that he cannot deliver on. Rather, what we see is God extending his blessing to Abram in order that his blessing might extend to the nations. What we see in these promises is that God is extending his blessing to Abram in order that his blessing might extend to the nations. Well, I'll look at this in two parts this morning. First of all, God's blessing to Abram, and second of all, God's blessing to the nations. Let's look at God's blessing to Abraham. Well, before we come to these verses that we read this morning, it's helpful to remember a bit of what has just come before in the story. Because the previous chapter tells us about the sinful rebellion of humanity at the Tower of Babel. You might be familiar with the story. People attempt to make a name for themselves with this great city and great tower that reaches up to the heavens. But God puts an end to their plans when he comes down and confuses their language and scatters them across the face of the earth. This was a sinful attempt of humanity to make a name for themselves. And so God steps down in judgment. And in fact, the story of the Bible could have ended right at this moment with humanity having stuffed up again. We had Adam and Eve at the start of Genesis, and now it seems it's a repeat of the same story. Sinful rebellion against God. God steps in judgment. Our Bibles would be rather short at that point, wouldn't they? But mercifully, there's Genesis chapter 12 and what comes beyond. Because when we turn the chapter into Genesis chapter 12, what we find is God acting in incredible grace. Notice what God promises to Abram in chapter 12 and verse 2. Glance down at your Bible if you have it open there with me. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Do you see what God's promising to do here? After having scattered the peoples at Babel in judgment, now God graciously is going to gather a people for himself. He's going to do it through this man, Abram. Now that's grace. I mean, think about it. Abraham certainly does not deserve to receive this blessing from God. He doesn't deserve to receive God's promises. In Joshua chapter 24, we're told that Abram worshipped other gods, gods other than the one true God of the Bible. Abram is receiving God's grace here, despite his idolatrous past. And he's also a strange choice that we see here. Humanly speaking, because as chapter 11, verse 30 tells us, his wife isn't able to have children. She's barren. Seems a very strange choice, humanly speaking, for God to make a whole nation out of a man who can't have children, to make a man who worshipped other false gods to be the one who's going to represent the one true God to the nations. Except that's the whole point, isn't it? It's not about Abraham or his ability or his past. It's about God and what he is doing. Notice what God says in this passage. No less than 5 times we read that he says, I will. I will. God wants Abraham to know without any shadow of a doubt that this promise is dependent on his grace and power and not on Abraham's ability. And as with Abraham, so up to the present day. Because thankfully, God is still the one who is acting in grace towards his people. I don't know if you remember back during the pandemic, some establishments had these temperature check devices that you had to go to before you would be allowed to go in. Sometimes it was on school buses. We had to do temperature checks and stuff like that. I remember going for a funeral once during the pandemic, and they had one of these very fancy screens, like an iPad-looking thing, and you had to come up to it, present yourself, and then it would check your temperature. I remember standing in a queue of people waiting to come into this funeral, and I started to get a little bit hot under the collar. I'm starting to get a little bit nervous. What if I come up to this thing and it gives me a higher temperature than I have? How embarrassing to have to get back in my car and back the way I came from. And so I'm trying to cool down a bit before I come up to this temperature check. Thankfully, I was allowed in. Thankfully, the pandemic is gone. But you know, sometimes it can feel a little bit like we've got one of those temperature check devices at the front of our churches. Except not a physical temperature check, like a spiritual temperature check. As though before coming in to church, we would need to have met some sort of religious standard. That we might have to be the right spiritual temperature before being able to come to God. But we need to be reminded regularly that none of us are able to come here because of our good efforts. None of us are able to come to God because of what we have done, because of our flawless track record, which none of us have. No, we're invited to come into God and into his family and into his presence because of what he has done for us, namely through the Lord Jesus, giving up his life for us on the cross. We're not here today because we've been good at reading our Bibles. We're not here today because we've been diligent in prayer. We're not here today because we're wearing the right clothes or because we've been generous with our money. No, we are here because of God's grace to us. We're here today because God has first said, I will, not you must. But there's more to see here. Because in the light of God's blessings to Abraham, Abraham responds with faith. It's the second part, God's blessing to the nations. You see, Abraham's part in this shouldn't be overlooked. I mean, put yourself in Abraham's position. This was a huge ask. Abraham is having to leave behind the comfortable and the secure place that he knew in Haran, and leave it for the uncomfortable and insecure prospects of a distant land. And yet in verse 4, notice what we simply read. Have a look down at verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Abram gets up and goes. He obeys. And of course, that's how we know that Abram had genuine faith in God. We can see it through his life of obedience, not flawless. But we see it through his obedient act here, because true faith always expresses itself in obedience to God. And in that obedience to God, we see here a glimpse of this promise that God had made to Abraham being fulfilled. In verse 7, we read of Abram building an altar to God. And he does it again in verse 8, where we also read that he called on the name of the Lord. But notice the backdrop is also highlighted for us in verse 6. Notice the context in which Abraham is building these altars and calling on the name of the Lord. Verse 6, at the very end of the verse, at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Abram is setting up these altars and calling on the name of the Lord, praising the Lord, declaring his greatness in the context of peoples all around him who didn't worship God. They were pagan nations, we know from the rest of the Bible. They're worshiping false gods. But in the light of God's goodness to him, he worships the Lord despite the fact of these surrounding nations being around him. And you know, if Abraham had reason to praise God in the presence of the peoples, don't we have more? Don't we have more reason? The Apostle Paul says of these verses in Galatians chapter 3 that when God said to Abraham, all nations will be blessed through you, Paul says that this is God preaching the gospel in advance to Abraham. You see, this promise given to Abraham speaks far beyond his time and the limited blessing that he could bring to the nations. Because this promise speaks of how God would fling open the doors wide of his storehouse of blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to pour out his blessing to all nations. That for all of us who repent of our sin and put our trust in the Lord Jesus, we can be made right with God. We can become part of Abraham's family, part of God's family. And notice what the Apostle Peter says of this new family. You don't need to turn there. Let me read these verses from 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God has made us his holy nation, his set-apart people, if you like, so that we may declare his praises even in the midst of the other peoples that might be around us. Let that sink in for a moment. You see, as we gather here today in Lurgan, 2023, we are evidence that God has kept his promise to Abraham. We are evidence today that God's blessing to the nations has indeed come through Jesus. But if you're here today and you're trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus and declaring his praises, you're a fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. We are another one of those peoples that God has blessed. But not only that, as we scatter through the week into the various fields of service that the Lord has given us to do, God is continuing to keep his promise through us, that we might bring his blessing to the nations, to the peoples that are around us, our family, our friends, and our colleagues. God is keeping his promise, and he's keeping it through you and through me. And doesn't that give us great confidence? Doesn't that give us great confidence to speak of what Jesus has done in our lives? As we could speak to our neighbors, speak to the other parents dropping off the school, kids at school this week. As we would speak to family, to friends, to colleagues at work, wherever it might be. What great confidence that we have to share of what Christ has done for us. Because God is keeping his promise through us. And it gives us confidence as well to pray and to give and to send missionaries across the border, across the world, because we know that our time and our money and our prayers will never go to waste, because this is God keeping his promise. He's keeping his promise still to this very day to bless the nations through Abraham and through those who by faith are sons of Abraham, even to this day. Brothers and sisters, that is you and I. To God be all the glory. Amen. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here with you this morning. Let me pray, and I'll hand back to Colin. Our gracious God, we want to thank you that indeed you're a God who keeps his promises. Thank you that that promise that you made to Abraham all of those thousands of years before, you kept and you are keeping for us today. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, through whom we have been supremely blessed. And Father, we pray that you would help us to bring that blessing of Jesus to the nations, to the people here around us, and to the very ends of the earth. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Joel. Well, our thanks to Joel for his report and for the ministry of the word this morning, and I trust that the Lord will bless him. He's going to Belfast to speak tonight, and so let's pray for him tonight down in Mount Moriah, and also as he continues to work for the Lord, him and his wife and his family down in Benturbet and County Cavan, and trust that the Lord will continue to bless him. Our closing hymn is "Go Forth and Tell, O Church of God Awake." Let's stand. Joel's going to go to the door, and if you can stay for the Lord's table, if you leave quietly on the second verse. Thank you. Go forth and tell, O Church of God.